Welcome to Impulse, where we'll uncover the hidden stories just beneath the surface of our city. I'm Kaylee Sirovi.
And I'm Spencer Tolkanen.
And today, we're taking you inside a secretive, high-risk, and highly creative world that exists in the margins of urban life. Urban exploring.
Urban explorers enter abandoned hospitals, defunct factories, shuttered schools, and crumbling infrastructure to capture moments lost in time. But their journey through these forgotten places isn't without consequences. From injuries and arrests to social media drama and ethical dilemmas, the world of urbex is complex, controversial, and undeniably fascinating. At least to us it is.
In this episode, you'll hear from the explorers who chase the thrill, the beauty, and the danger. You'll also hear from first responders who rescue them when things go wrong. Together, they paint a vivid portrait of what it really means to explore the hidden layers of a city.
This is Armadillo Underground.
Before we get into the danger, the community, and the consequences, let's start with the basics. What exactly is urban exploring?
Urban exploring, or urbex, is the practice of entering and documenting abandoned, off-limits, or rarely seen parts of the urban landscape. That might mean climbing rooftops, sneaking into decommissioned power plants, or spelunking into the forgotten tunnel system of Minneapolis and St. Paul. For many, it's a way to experience the city differently, to reclaim spaces that are lost or overlooked.
If you can get in and get out without being seen, you didn't trespass. But it's also like, if it's not being put to use, like nobody is using this property for anything and it's just sitting there rotting away. Like, why wouldn't we want to like go see like what it has to offer instead of just letting it sit there and do nothing? I think that like, obviously, as an urbexer, like you're going to see like a no trespassing sign and you're going to look the other way and you're going to keep going. I was just like a bored teenager and I was like, what can I do for free? And that's what you can do for free. It's really fun. It can be really scary at times, but that adrenaline, you know, like kind of keeps you addicted to it almost. Like, oh, I want to go again.
Like some of these explorers, they'll go sneak into like active mills and explore active mills, active power plants and things like that. And it's like, not only that, those charges are going to be extremely high if you're caught at those. Because like, if you're caught at like an abandoned building, they're most likely going to tell you to leave. But like, I don't know how you're going to explain yourself if you're caught in an active power plant.
Coming up on 2 years now, and it's I guess I was really interested in it before, but I was younger then and I didn't really do it. But recently, coming up on 2 years, and it's just wanted just to explore, try something new. That's really what it was. That's what got me into it. And I just was hooked right away. It was the history, the thrill, the photography behind it. I loved it all.
Despite being illegal, urban exploring has an internal code. It's not written down, but ask any urbexer and they'll tell you there are rules. Rules about how to find spots, how to protect them, and how to behave once you're inside.
Like, it kind of like, not really rules, but kind of like more like norms, I'd say. But like, a lot of times if you see like explorers taking photos, I mean, it's like this for everyone. You obviously don't get in a shot, don't get in a way. It's kind of a thing that you don't really associate with certain people. Like, if there's like the explorers, like, I wouldn't like to call them explorers, but sometimes it is unfortunate. There are very few people in this crowd who go to these buildings and they'll just destroy like everything in their path. It's like a norm to just not like associate yourself around those people. I'd say you leave it how you found it. That's like the biggest golden rule. I have a YouTube channel, King Explorers. I mean, if you want, you can go check it out if you like. I try my best to not, whenever I explore these places, I never ever give the name unless the place is actively being demolished or is going to be demolished. Like, it's confirmed they're going to demolish it, because at that point, it's like, I don't really care what happens to it because it's going to face the wrecking ball. A lot of times I don't say names. I try my best not to show entrances, or sometimes the spots are way too good. A lot of times I just keep them offline until like the time is right to post them. But no matter what you do, people are going to kind of find it like regardless.
One would be like, you just don't share the coordinates or like the spots with anyone else unless they came there with you or like you went there with them, because you don't want it like getting around and then getting too public and then it gets shut down. And then also don't like destroy it. Don't vandalize it. Like, don't whatever. I think there's like a line between like graffiti and tagging and then like completely like destroying like part of the building, especially when you find urbex spots that are like untouched or like really recently like abandoned. Like if you go in there and you're like knocking everything over and breaking stuff and like just like spraying random stuff on the walls, like we don't want to do that. Like we want to preserve it. I think graffiti is like art. It's like an art form. I don't see a problem with like leaving your mark in that way, as long as you're not being like excessive and like doing the utmost. I also like stand by that. You go because you want to explore it. You want something to do. You want to admire it. And then you take your little flicks and you get out and you, and like, cause like, why would, yeah, maybe you want to post the photos, but like, I guarantee you don't really want to like leave your mark that much to the point where like it's going to help you get caught.
Graffiti is a different situation. If it's a more popular spot and there's already a bunch of graffiti going, doing graffiti there, no one in the community has a problem with that. It's the, vandalizing new spots, breaking windows, and purposely hurting the building itself. That's where it's we're not a big fan of that.
That tension between secrecy and visibility plays out across social media. As urbex content gains popularity, more newcomers flood into the scene. And the old guard isn't always thrilled.
As much as I hate to say this, it is becoming more mainstream. It is becoming really popular, which I do not like. So it's not really much of an underground kind of like secret nightclub type of thing or whatever you want to call it anymore. But I don't think the mainstream is going to last forever. I think it's going to be like a whole thing, or it's going to be like a trend, and then it's going to die out. I feel like TikTok's kind of the reason why the hobby got so big and kind of like blew up a little bit. But I don't know. How that's, but like I said, it's kind of becoming a trend. I mean, I know, like, even like in the past few months alone, there's been a bunch of like new people joining the hobby. They'll join the hobby, they'll like get really sendy, and they'll do a bunch of stupid stuff, and then they'll catch felonies, and then they'd immediately stop.
One thing that got me back into it was, Instagram, TikTok, just seeing it and knowing there's spots out there like that. So I say it's a good and bad thing. If you know how to protect spots, it's a good thing, but there's some people who don't, and that turns bad.
When it comes to urbexing, what are some experiences that you've had that stick out to you?
I feel like I'm gonna say these and people are gonna be like, why would I want to go urbexing? I remember I went to this one spot and somebody had carried up all the parts to a trampoline and then assembled it in the building. That was probably one of the coolest things, one of the coolest urbexing experience. So then everybody was just jumping on this trampoline. The reason that got shut down because people started sharing it with each other because everybody's like, where's this abandoned trampoline thing? And then it got posted on TikTok and it got like 3 million views. And then everybody in the comments was like, it's in Minnesota, it's in Minnesota. And then now she's gone.
But urban exploring isn't just an ethical minefield. It's physically dangerous. These buildings aren't maintained. Floors collapse, stairs break, mold and asbestos linger in the
I mean,
air.
some places are also just like dangerous. Like I know people who like climbed like the Twins sign with like no gear, no nothing. And it's like to each their own, you know, but like I feel like living another day. And like I know people who've climbed like cell phone towers and then they like consider that like urbexing. I guess it kind of is. But I think good spots are like old like churches, those are really cool. Factories, those are like a little harder though, because you have like holes in the floor that you need to watch out for, and like literally so many stairs. Like I thought I was so out of shape for a second, because like I would go up all these stairs and I'd get to the top and I'd be like, oh holy shit, I can't breathe. Like rehab centers, like that was super cool. But things can be dangerous.
And when accidents happen, explorers often rely on the people they've spent their whole time trying to avoid: emergency responders and police.
My name is Tyler Lupkus. I am a battalion chief in the Special Operations Division at Hennepin EMS. I've been a paramedic since 2006, working here in Minneapolis since 2012. And part of my responsibilities in our office is I oversee a group of paramedics that are trained in rescues. So technical rescues, using ropes, entering confined spaces and things like that. So we see see a lot of, you know, leg injuries, hip injuries, things like that from those falls. But surprisingly enough, there's also, I think, an increase in respiratory injury and illness that can come from it, just because, you know, poor air quality, a lot of dust, debris, you know, bird and rodent feces and things like that, that exist in those areas that, if appropriate respiratory protection measures aren't taken, we have seen people that have gotten pneumonias and things like that after the fact.
I am Melanie Rucker, and I am the assistant chief of Minneapolis Fire Department. What usually happens is they go with a partner, and usually, you know, one of them will like fall or get hurt, and it's traumatic. It's traumatic for that partner that has to call 911. It's traumatic for the family. So we've had like feedback where, you know, parents or, you know, people have like contacted us to thank us for saving, you know, their loved one, you know, because it's very traumatic. So they have to understand too, that doing this exploration, if they do get hurt, get injured, or even die, that this traumatic effect it has on their loved ones, their family, or even someone that has went with you. So it's not just them getting injured, them going through the trauma of a possible injury, it's the extended family as well, family and friends and loved ones.
One guy, he slipped and fell while in the grate, and he put his hands out to stop himself, because you naturally just try to catch things so you don't completely like fall and face plant. But when he put his hands out to catch himself, he put his hands on glass, on shattered glass. He cut both his hands up extremely bad. And he was unable to, and the only way out was to go out that grate. And he was unable to climb up out of the grate because he cut his hands up really bad. And the guy with him had a first aid kit, and we patched him up, but it was bleeding so badly we couldn't do anything. So we were like, oh shit. So we had to call the fire department. They had to come. They actually had to go up to the door and like take one of the welds off the door. Then they had to go in through the inside, go down in the basement and get them and then bring them out.
King Explores also talked about a time he got hurt while exploring. It wasn't serious enough to need an ambulance, but it was still pretty intense. He once hit his head hard on a steel beam and cut it open. He ended up tearing off his sock, wrapping it around his head to stop the bleeding, and just drove himself to the hospital.
And sometimes it's not just the explorer who's at risk.
I think a lot of the initial calls for help can even just be difficult to locate, right? A lot of these buildings don't necessarily have well-known addresses or, you know, names of buildings on the exterior of them anymore. So even sometimes finding the right location can be difficult, you know, thinking of tunnel systems and culverts and things. You know, it's hard to pinpoint where people are, first of all. So that's obviously a challenge that we face. And then, you know, it's accessing people. If it's a scenario where they may have fallen through an old wooden floor in a building, you know, those same hazards exist for the people that are then trying to rescue the explorers from the situation that they're in. And obviously, if those people are now injured or having other, you know, medical emergencies, we can't necessarily, you know, just walk them out the same way that they came in. So if there's things like splinting or immobilizing people fully, if they have, you know, back injuries, things like that, that can make it extremely challenging to ensure that we're giving them the appropriate medical care that they need as to not worsen any injury, and then find a suitable location to get them out. So that often involves very prolonged incidents where we may have to set up rope systems or other means to, you know, safely extricate people out of those areas while also keeping the responders safe with, you know, their own rope harnesses and things if there's a risk of them falling through holes and things like that.
So why do it?
Why climb into asbestos-laced buildings in the dark?
Why risk injury or arrest for a few photos?
It's cool to, you know, photograph it and then be able to show it off and say you've been there.
I honestly love it. Like, I think it's some of the coolest photos I've ever seen. Like, it really gives you, like, a new look at, like, something that wasn't being used for anything else. And I think that, like, you can make that super cool. I don't know. That's just like all I'm gonna say about it. Like, it's sick.
I mean, it's kind of like every community. I mean, there's like some really cool people in this hobby, but there's also some really bad people in the hobby, or not bad people, but I say like people I'm not really fans of. Okay. I mean, it's kind of like everywhere you go in life, there's going to be, you can't have a good without the bad, because everything's good. You can't compare it to bad.
Urban exploring walks the line between danger and beauty, creativity and illegality. For some, it's worth the risk. For others, it's a call to caution.
Go sober. Go with a group. Don't be like stupid. Like, look where you're walking. Be like aware of your surroundings. If you are going when it's dark, bring a flashlight. Dress appropriately. Some people are just like, yeah, let's go. And they're in like, I swear, like I'll see people and they're in like t-shirts, jeans, nothing else. And I'm like, yeah. And then some people do, and they bring like their masks and like never touch like random water, or like try not to touch the walls. And if what I have seen is like people will be like, okay, guys, we're going to go like through this one area. Everybody hold their breath and run through it. And then once we get to the other side, like then you can breathe. And I'm just like, okay, like that would have been nice to know.
Some of these explorers get extremely territorial, or sometimes there's people who will, it's really awkward. They'll like trash talk me on the internet or do a bunch of like really petty things. And sometimes I'll see them in person as a spot, and like we both don't like each other. Then we're just like awkwardly, like we run at each other. And it's just like awkward silence. It's just like really weird. Another thing I'd recommend too is carrying like a weapon. Obviously, I wouldn't bring a firearm, as if you're caught, that could be a very serious charge. But I would bring like probably like a can of spray or just a knife or just something small. Just a case. I mean, hopefully you don't ever have to use it.
So I guess with like asbestos black mold, for really decayed places, though, it's really popular. You'll find them for sure. So I guess, you know, wearing a respirator can always be good. If you're going into a place you know has chemicals, you know, has asbestos, has black mold, respirators or some type of like industry standard mask. That's what I would suggest there.
You kind of just kind of watch your stuff, because that's the thing. You can't go into any abandoned building and just not expect a risk. Like, a lot of times you kind of have to just accept that there is a risk, and you're going to see a risk, and you kind of just have to accept it. And like when it comes across, you got to learn how to just like come go around it.
I say it's just dangerous. There's other ways to get that kind of adrenaline rush that they're seeking, or, you know, that extra challenge of doing, like, you know, places where there's rock climbing, there's hiking, where that's what it's built for, where they're, you know, not the places that have the unknown hazards. So I would say stick to the places that are built for these types of explorations, that have been vetted, that have been deemed safe and don't have these, you know, you can always get still hurt hiking, rock climbing and different things like that. But where, don't venture into places that you don't know the hazards, where there's unknown hazards that can sneak up on you.
Every once in a while, you know, responders can get hurt as well. We work very closely with the fire department, obviously, on these types of calls, where, you know, they're experts in the rescue world as well. You know, even things as simple as, you know, rusty nails and all of that stuff is still around, that, you know, they may not necessarily be, you know, falling through holes in the floor, because, you know, we try to prevent that through the ropes and stuff that I just talked about. But there are still hazards, and, you know, other parts of the building may still be falling down just with the presence of extra people around. Now there's, you know, extra load on the floor and you know, ceiling parts and things fall that we're not prepared for.
Urban exploring exists in the shadows.
It invites curiosity and sometimes chaos.
It's a look at the forgotten corners of our city and ourselves.
I'm Kaylee.
And I'm Spencer.
This has been Armadillo Underground.
And remember, Beauty is sometimes hidden in plain sight.